Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running up. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm half a class of copper and over to me.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In a me life, a pure peace and happiness. In a me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, not under and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place, hey, like Johnny. I'm running through the devil, can't go stand. Tell me,
praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. I'm so glad that you have tuned in on tonight. We have been studying trusting God in the midst of trouble in the past year, and we started out this year with Your Life Has Purpose. Your Life Has Purpose. And I hope you know, dear friend, that God loves you very much and that your life does have purpose. And tonight the subtopic that we wanted to use is Your Life Has Purpose, Just Float. Just float. And what I mean by just float, I mean just rest in the Lord. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I magnify your holy name, O God. I thank you because you are truly righteous and you're holy, and you are a God that just watches over us each and every day. I pray, O God, that you would truly touch us right now. Open up our understanding, O God. Speak to our hearts and our minds. Father, we just love you with all our hearts, O God, and we just want to get to know you better. We want to live lives that are pleasing to you, O God, and we just want to be able to speak words of wisdom to others and be a blessing to them. Lord, I pray on tonight that you would truly use me for your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray for those around the world that are listening to these messages. I pray, O God, that you would touch hearts and minds right now. Father, whatever country people are tuning in to this message, O God, whatever country they're living in, I pray that the blessings of God would be upon them, that the peace of God would be upon them. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your love towards us. Move in a special way, O God, I pray. And, Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, I thank you once again, as I stated before, for tuning in with me on tonight. I was on Monday night, Tuesday night. I was not on. I got home, and I was just very exhausted. And I am on the air Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And if I'm not on the air for some reason, then you know that I was either out ministering someplace else or I was just perhaps too tired to even just do anything else for the evening. And that was the case on Tuesday. But I have so enjoyed studying with you, and I pray that this year is truly a blessed year for you and that you understand how much God loves you and how much he cares about you. I want to start with this lesson on tonight with Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Psalms 37 is a very interesting contrast between the things that God wants to do for those who love him and what the reward of the wicked will be. So it's sort of like the reward of the righteous versus the reward of the wicked. The reward of the righteous versus the reward of the wicked. In other words, whenever we put our trust in God, we understand that there is a reward for those who truly love God. And, of course, there's a reward for those who are wicked and who, those who choose not to put their trust in God. I don't know about you, my friend, but I want to always be in right standing with God. I always want to be on God's side. And so I never, ever want to find myself being on the side that does not want to serve God, does not want to please God. And so Psalms 37, it talks about us resting in the Lord. And so when I said to you that our topic was your life has purpose, just float, what it means is that when you understand that your life has purpose, then you will understand that you don't have to worry, you don't have to stress, but you can just relax and just lean back and just trust the Lord. In elementary school and middle school, and I don't know whether they do it in high school or not, but there's an exercise that is done in the wellness classes or the recreation classes or what they call gym or whatever they call it in your state. But this exercise is an exercise of faith or trust. And how this exercise is done in several different ways, one of which is to have the person stand in front of their peers. And when they stand in front of their peers, what they would do is just have the peers stand ready to catch the person and have the person just fall back at will without even looking back. And so when they fall back at will, they totally trust that their peers would catch them. This is just trust, pure trust, because when you trust someone to catch you, you don't have to look behind you to see if they're standing there. You just know that if you fall, they're going to catch you. So resting in God, dear friend, is just that, that when you put your trust in God, you know that at any given time, it does not matter what you're going through, you know that God is going to catch you, that God is going to surround you with his love, that God is going to help you. I remember also working as a school principal at a juvenile program for about 6 months. I worked as a school principal. And one of the exercises that they made the youth do was to climb all the way up to the top of this landing, something that they built up in the trees. And you had to go up there strapped in all types of contraptions. And then when you got to the very, very top landing, you had to just jump. Now, that was also an exercise in trust and in faith, because when you jumped, you expected the people on the ground who had your harness to actually catch you and keep you from, you know, hurting yourself, and you had to land safely on the ground. This was something that I felt that if my students could do it, I could do it also. And so, of course, I climbed all the way up to the top of the landing in the tree. You know, they had little steps that you could climb up. And I went all the way up there. And then, of course, when I felt brave enough, I jumped. And lo and behold, those people on the ground that had the other ends to my harness were able to you know, pull hard on those things and keep me from being harmed. So it is, dear friend, that when we have put our trust in God, what we're saying to him is, I trust you with the other end of my harness. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my children. I trust you with my husband. Or if you're a man, I trust you with my wife. In other words, you are totally trusting God to work things out for you. And you're not going to lose any rest over it, but you're going to actually put your trust in God in such a way that you will rest in him. Dear friend, it is time to rest in God. God has perfect peace planned just for you. He has calm planned out just for you. He has, you know, just a gentle, calm spirit. He has it set aside just for you. I don't know what has been the challenge of your life these past few days or months or even years. But I want you to know this, dear friend, that God has you in the palm of his hand, and that there is nothing too hard for God to do. Whatever it is that you have need of in your personal life, I want you to know that God is able to meet every need. And when I say that your life has purpose and just float, what I'm saying to you is sometimes it is much better to just float through life than to stress yourself out. I've said it over and over again to many folks, and sometimes they just chuckle, you know, they laugh a little bit. But I find a place that I refer to, my place of rest, I refer to it as La La Land. La La Land is a place where nothing bothers you. And I'm not saying that I never get upset over anything, because, of course, I would not be human if I said that I did not get stressed about anything at all. But the bottom line is that when things bother me, I tend to shake them off as quickly as they come up. In other words, I tend not to lose too much, you know, brain cells trying to figure things out. But I say, God, I trust you. I know that everything is in your hands and that you are able to work this situation out. And so I have no need to worry. I can just put my trust in you. And so let us read Psalms 37. Psalms 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So the Bible says, fret not yourself. What does that mean, dear friend? It means do not worry. Do not worry. Your life has purpose. God has a plan for your life. Do not sit around worrying. Don't fret. Don't waste time over minor things that do not need your attention, but focus yourself on things that are really important. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So, the key to your prosperity, dear friend, is to do good. In other words, you surrender your life totally to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you do as much as you can to help other people. Now, I'm not saying that your salvation depends on you doing work, because you cannot work yourself into heaven. You cannot do anything to command God to put you into heaven. But what God says is, when you have a change of heart, when God has truly been good to you and you know that he has and you understand that he has, and you realize that even if he had done nothing for you, he is still God and deserves to be worshipped and to be praised, then you will understand that a byproduct of righteousness, a byproduct of holiness, is also a genteel and a kind spirit. Someone who is truly holy will want to be kind to other people. Someone who is truly righteous will want to, you know, encourage and to strengthen others. And so the Bible says in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight means to make glad or to make happy. When you delight yourself in the Lord, then you know without a doubt that he is going to give you the desires of your heart. Now, of course, the desires of your heart have to be according to God's will. So you cannot desire something that is not God's will and then sit around praying and asking God to give it to you. Now, at times he will give it to you, but I want you to know that if you ask God for something that is not the right thing, and he says, okay, well, I'm just going to give it to you, and it makes you unhappy, don't blame it on God. We tend to beg God to give us things that we really don't need and that we shouldn't be longing after, and then when he gives it to us, then we get mad because things did not work out for us. But if we want things to work out for our good, what we need to do is pray and say, God, what is your will for my life? Lord, I want you to place the desires that you want for me to have in my heart. I want you to speak to me and give me direction. Tell me what you want me to do. Look at verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So if you are praying about some things that are pleasing to God that you know will bring God glory, the Bible says that when you commit your way unto the Lord and trust in him, he shall bring it to pass. So if you've been dreaming about preaching and teaching, if you have been dreaming about pastoring a church or doing evangelism, if you have been dreaming about opening up an orphanage for children or a home for children or a home for battered women or, you know, some other notable thing noteworthy thing that is very good. You know, or you're just praying to be a better mother, a better wife, or you might be a man praying to be a better husband to your wife. You know, if it's something like that where God can truly get the glory, then of course he's going to bring it to pass. Of course he's going to help you to accomplish it because you are praying about something that is going to bring glory to him. You know, if you're a good wife, that means that your husband is going to be encouraged to serve the Lord. And if you're a good mother, that means that your children are going to be brought up upright and they're going to be trained up in the things of God. And so when you pray and ask God to help you to do things that are pleasing to him, and you commit your way, you commit your heart and your life to God, then God is going to bring it to pass. He is going to bless you in such a way that not only will you be pleased, but he will be pleased also. And he knows that he will continue to get glory out of your life. Look at verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. We could also say float. You know the reason why I say float? Because if you learn how to swim, you find that one of the first things they do is teach you how to float. In other words, you must learn how to relax in the water and just let your body become weightless. You must learn how to let the water carry you. Isn't that interesting? Learn how to let the water carry you. If you have ever gone in a ship or in a boat, I should say, and you have gotten into any serious current, that current can take you downstream in a very, very quick way. You know, you can get into that boat and didn't realize that the undercurrent was so strong, and before you know it, you're going downstream quickly. And so if you were in that boat, you'd realize that it was not your oars that was carrying you, it was not your engine that was carrying you, but it was just that current taking that boat away. So it is that when we put our trust in God, We understand that it's not by our means, it is not by our power that we are accomplishing things, but it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that he accomplishes great things through us. How can he accomplish great things through us? He can accomplish great things through us when we surrender our lives totally to God and say, God, I want you to direct me. I want you to help me. I want you to lead me. And then when you do that, you totally, you know, you just take a deep breath and just lean back and then let God do it. Many, many times we say, God, I'm giving this to you, but we do not stop long enough to lean up on him and to let him handle it. You know, if you are walking, you know, for many miles, I was just reading an illustration tonight about the missionaries in India years ago. They used to have young boys on the street that were merchants. They sell their goods. And so someone had pity on them and put rocks all over the place so that ever so often these little young men could lean up on the rock and rest. And so one day, one of these young men were brought to the missionaries at the housing where the missionaries do their Bible teachings. And one of them presented Jesus as the rock, you know, the rock that we can rest on, you know, our rock. And the little Indian boy said, you know, this rock is better than my rock that I have to rest on outside, because this rock I can have with me always. Isn't that wonderful to know that the rock that we have put our trust in is not just a rock that we see periodically when we need to rest. It is not just a rock that passes through our lives. It is not just a rock that is just for a moment, meaning that today you have that rest and tomorrow you don't. This rock is something that we have with us always. And so if Jesus is your rock, then you understand that he is that perfect peace that you can have to rest upon at all times, at all times. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Dear friend, there's so many around us that they seem to be doing so well, but yet they're doing wickedly. The Bible says, don't worry about it. Let God handle it. Verse 8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Cease from anger. I don't know if you've been angry at someone, but the Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Draw yourself away from folks that do evil. Draw yourself away from people who do the wrong thing. Don't get caught up in doing the wrong thing. God has a greater purpose for your life. He has great things for you. Don't get caught up in doing things that are not pleasing to God. Look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It's just so wonderful to know that if we would just put our trust in God, we will inherit all, everything. Look at verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Don't let ungodly people hinder your praise, hinder the things that you want to accomplish for God. The Bible says, yet a little while, and they will not be. So let them enjoy their fun now, because sooner or later, this fun is all going to go down the drain. Look at verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So who does God love? God loves those who learn how to keep their mouth shut, who love people regardless of how the other person acts. He loves folks that will put their trust totally in him and have faith in him, regardless of what the situation or circumstance looks like. And the Bible says that he shall delight and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And so does God love a person like that? Yes, he does. Why? Because this person is not seeking arguments, not seeking to complain or to, you know, what have you, but this person has set their heart and their mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time, of course, it was just referring to God. And Jesus had not shed his heavenly glory as yet and come down here. But the bottom line is that he is God. He is God. Look at verse 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now, who is God, the Bible, talking about? Look at verse 12. The wicked. The wicked plotted against the just and gnashed him with his teeth. So the wicked are always plotting against those that want to serve God. But it's okay, because the Lord shall laugh at anyone who bothers you. Look at verse 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man had is better than the riches of many wicked. So the Bible says don't worry about the wicked, because he is just going to laugh at them. And a little that you have is more than what an unrighteous person has. So don't be envious of the wicked. Don't be envious of what they have, because God already has ordained this moment in time, and I want you to know that he is blessing you and he is helping you. Verse 21 said, the wicked borrow it and pay it not again, but the righteous show it mercy and give it. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. So we see the steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. And so if you want your steps to be righteous, or if you want your steps to be ordered, I should say, you should live a righteous and a holy life. A righteous and a holy life. Because truly, God loves you, and he wants you to truly rest in him, to rest in him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, the Bible tells us that we have so many witnesses, and we have many that have gone before us. But it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest and is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So, now, we know that your life has purpose, and that I'm encouraging you to just rest, just float, just rest in God. Now, the Bible says that we have that high priest, Jesus. He is back in heaven. He is encouraging us to hold fast our profession of faith. You said that you love Jesus, hold fast to your faith. You said that you want to do great things for God, hold fast to your faith. It's so easy to give up, but dear friend, I want you to hold on just a little while longer. God has great things in store for you. God has great things in store for you. You see, sometimes we don't believe it, and so we have to say it more than once. God has great things in store for you. Amen. And I hope you believe that. I hope you understand that. There's a poem that was written from Matthew 11, 28 and 29, and 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. O weary one, bow down with care. Come, lean upon my breast. There is no load I cannot bear, no burden that I will not shear. So cast on me thine every care. Come unto me and rest. All ye that labor, come to me, and I will give you rest. Though heavy laden you may be, come lean upon my breast. He spoke to me so tenderly, come, take my yoke and learn of me. My burden shall rest light on thee, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden, tired with care, I came to him for rest. There I laid my burden down and leaned upon his breast. He gave me strength from day to day. He guided me along life's way. And now my soul must ever say, praise God, he gave me rest. And that was by Sylvia Ratcliffe Lockwood in Gospel Herald. And there's another example of rest. It says, a little child's understanding, Matthew 11:28 again, was the text of the, Matthew 11:28 was the text of the preacher one night. He was a true and warm-hearted man, and as he drew near the close of his address, his heart was so full of Christ that his lips could not express what he felt and wanted to say. All he could say was, come unto me. What does it mean? Come unto me. What does it mean? Again and again he repeated, what does it mean? What does it mean? All at once, a little girl sitting on a front seat timidly rose and shy-like held out her hand. Well, said the kindly preacher, what does it mean, dear child? Please, sir, it means that he wants me, was the touching reply. The preacher sat down. Both he and the people felt no more need be said. Hearts became tender, eyes became wet with tears, and afterwards one and another said, the wisest and most able among us could not have given a truer and sweeter exposition of the text. Come unto me means he wants me, he wants me. By Christian Life Missionary. I want you to know, dear friend, that God is telling you to come unto him. And when he says come unto him, what he is saying is that he wants you. There's no greater feeling in the world, dear friend, but for someone to feel as if others want them around, want to speak to them, want to be around them. I want you to know, dear friend, that God wants you around him. He wants you, and most of all, he wants you to rest in him, to rest in him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest. Well, let me back up a little bit. In verse 14, it says, let us hold fast our profession. Our profession. It means, it's referring to our profession of faith. Dear friend, we're getting close. There are going to be some rough times ahead in society. But I want you to understand and to know this, that it doesn't matter what happens around you, you've got to be able to stand your ground and to stand up for what you believe in. So that's why it says hold on to your profession. It's referring to your profession of faith. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so it is a reminder. Paul reminds the people that we have someone in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. He sits on the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. And the bottom line is that if we would just understand this, we would be healed of things more quickly. We would be encouraged and to pick up ourselves even more quickly. We have to understand that God has great things in store for you, and that what he wants for you is to rest in him. Rest in him. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So coming boldly to God means that you understand that what you ask for, he is going to handle. You see, sometimes we just don't know what to do or what to say, but God will give you insight, and he will give you the courage, and he will also tell you exactly what you need to be doing with your future. I just want to say, dear friend, that each and every day, God calls us to live lives that are pleasing to him, and I want you to know that you too can live a life that is pleasing to God. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help him in time of need. So God wants to give us grace to help us in time of need. And dear friend, I just want to encourage you to hold on. Hold on. This is another opportunity for you to hold on. This is another opportunity for you to put your trust in God. This is another opportunity for you to excel in reading, writing, and math. This is another year for you to understand that God has great things in store for you. Don't hesitate to give him praise, but praise him in advance, because God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and he wants you to rest in him. He wants you to rest in him. And so you think about it, pray about it, and let us see where we can put your second rug. Amen. Where you could put your second thoughts. Our thoughts are on Jesus Christ right now, and we know that he is working things out by his grace and his mercy. Through his grace and his mercy, he is working things out just for us, and he is truly looking forward for us to get our second win, and for us to truly understand that he does love and care about us. And so, dear friend, let us, as we get ready to close, let us trust God and rest in him. Rest in him. A moment ago, I think I said something else, like God is trying to help you get your second rug or something. I don't know. It could be that I am a little bit tired tonight also, but I just want you to know, dear friend, God loves you, he cares about you, and he wants you to rest in him. And an example of resting in him is trusting him to take care of every need that you have. And I want you to just trust God. It does not matter what it is, what the challenge is that you're facing, put your trust in God. Bow your head with me and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify you. We honor you. And I just praise you right now. Pray that you truly have your own divine way. Lord, I pray for your sons and your daughters, that you would bless them, keep them in the palm of your hands. We trust you right now, Lord, and we love you. Move in a special way, oh God, in the hearts and the lives of your people. God, I pray for that special one right now that is listening. God, that you would help them, that you would lead them. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for moving in a special way right now. Touch right now. And Father, we just thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your peace, for your joy, for your help right now. We just thank you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I am going to stop right there for tonight. I understand that sometimes you might feel alone, but you are never alone, because God is always with you to help you, to help your family. And I want you to keep in mind that God is still real. He's still sitting on his throne, and he just wants you to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. God bless you as you listen to the song, God is Real.
There are some things. Yeah.
Praise the Lord, dear friend. Thank you so much for tuning in, and you have a blessed evening.